boy, all of you hard workers yesterday, and you're all here, and you all look pretty good, and it's hard getting old because I can hardly walk, and I didn't even stay very long. But I want to give a special shout out to Joanne for all the work that she does, and she has to start in September getting things lined up. And then she and Joey were making the Sloppy Joes on Thursday and had to contend with the woman from the health department was helping you. And then all day yesterday, I don't know how Joanne can even move, but... Well, let's hope that God's on our side for about 10 more years. Rich, you want to come up and say a couple of words?
Yeah. We want to have some information regarding those.
You want?
Is everyone hearing? Yeah.
Well, we want to hear you here, too, so make sure we can hear.
I will come up here.
Yeah, good.
If you'd like to stand very close to me.
You're not sick, are you?
Yeah.
Would I be? I'd like to give you an update on the cruise ship drive and give you an update as well as how we did a preliminary number on the bake sale. I think we did very well. I don't have our past numbers in front of me. But basically, our big seller was the baking and cooking table. Combined volume of that was $535. That was a big seller. Next came food at $413, and then the jumbo room at $215. And as Rachel reminds me, as we age, we're trying to get rid of more and more stuff, so less and less food comes into the jumbo room and affects our total revenue in there. So, but all in all, the table revenue was around $1,161. We had the table revenue from our craft people, which was another $100. And then we had contributions toward our expenses, so that we don't have to deduct those, of another $250. So basically, we have made about $1,512 on our basis. That all goes, as you know, to local charities and people in need. So that's a great thing. It's hard, it's work, but the benefits are innumerable and will help a lot of folks. I'd like to bring you up an update as well in terms of our stewardship drive. I don't know how many folks read the newsletter, but basically, of the folks who pledged this year, the percent change in value from 2018 to 2019 is up 12%. Now, that's the good news. We have fewer pledges this year. Regular givers, but we have fewer pledgers, and I won't be able to put a number to that until year end when we're done. We also have a bit of a problem in that some folks did not receive the letter with the pledge form at their home. I don't know what happened. They didn't get it, made them faulty address or whatever. But those who would fall into that category and would like a pledge from them, please see me, and I'll be happy to make certain that you get them. So right now, we're standing last year, the total value of the pledge was $48,120, and this year we're at just under $42,000. Okay. Thank you.
You can post your prayer request for December on the back table. No, on the way back table. And fellas, remember last Sunday when you brought the tables over? The tables have to be returned. So I'm glad to see there might be enough of you that we can get that done in a hurry. And coffee time is downstairs today, so your friends, your women friends, will be waiting for you down there, and you can get a cup of coffee, too. One other announcement is, the Christmas love gifts have to be turned in by tomorrow. But now it looks like it's all, the gifts, all the gifts might not be back, okay. They're all back, okay. Because this time of the year is so busy, the last couple times we tried to have Sunday school, there wasn't really enough to have Sunday school with. So Pastor and I decided we'll resume Sunday school after New Year's. So you don't have to feel guilty if you have to go to your parents or your mothers or whatever. And parents and then mothers. Yeah, I looked at Sherry. Or go to your children's home, or they're coming to your house. You can get home because we want you here in church on Sunday. So I hope that's all right with everybody that we're postponing Sunday school. So, are there any joys or concerns? Barb? Well, that's wonderful. Very, very good. I kind of missed that. I didn't hear it.
I said even Rich got a tip.
Oh, that's good. Well, Lori?
Yeah, I think many of you know already, but we have joy. Daughter on November 12th. Her name was Kate Susie Hayward, and she was 6 pounds and 18 and 2 months, so she was a little infant. She was a couple weeks early, so it was a quick trip down for Grandma and Grandpa to get there for her birth.
But you made it. She waited for you. Well, now it's time for worship by the ringing of the bell. Will you stand for the call to worship? The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promises I have made.
To you, O Lord, we lift up our souls. To you, O God, we trust.
The one who is coming will show us the path of steadfast love and faithfulness.
Teach us your ways, O God, of our salvation. We light this candle in the sure hope that God's promises endure.
We will live in the light of hope as we wait the coming of the Lord.
Let's continue with the opening prayer. Almighty and everlasting God, you have left safe and sure in your magnificent hand. In your infinite grace and mercy, you have sustained us and called us your own. We praise you, O Lord. In Christ we pray. Amen. Now we will sing Hail to the Lord's Anointed on 203.
Of you, and I'd like to extend my personal congratulations to all those who were involved in the bazaar. Bazaars are getting fewer and fewer, not compared to what they used to be, and to have a successful bazaar and be a part of the community's recognition of the Christmas season, I think is a good thing for us. And so I know it's a lot of work, but and you still made it to church this morning, too. That's what I always wonder about when there's something like that on Saturday. And I was one of our members, I was expressing concern for him because I knew, you know, it was a lot of work for him yesterday. And to be here in church, I thought was a good thing. There was something else I wanted to say, but I forgot what it was now. I got so encaptured with that thought. I guess I'll just let it slide by. Maybe I'll pick it up somewhere in service. I know what it was. I had a conversation with one of the people that had a craft table. And I was doing my very best not to tell her that I was pastor of the church. And it was kind of an engaging conversation. She was telling me about her involvement with vintage baseball. And I was interested in that. I hadn't heard about it. And towards the end of the conversation with her, she says, "Well, you're probably retired. What did you do before you retired?" And so I had to tell her I was a United Methodist pastor. And then I said, "I still work part-time, and I'm pastor of this church." I just thought maybe it might be a more comfortable conversation for somebody not to know I was the pastor of the church. But so she found out. Not that I'm not, I'm proud to be your pastor, but sometimes it's nice to be, just an ordinary person. See how long I can fool people. Sometimes people are embarrassed to find out who I am. It's good to be here. It's really for the church, the beginning of Advent and our preparations to celebrate Christmas, and so it's a good time of year. I want to invite you to a few moments of silent prayer. I will lead us in a short pastoral prayer, and then we'll share the Lord's Prayer together. Let's be in an attitude of prayer together, please. Heavenly Father, this is the day that you have made. We are rejoicing and glad in it. Grateful that we can be here together this morning and offer to you our praise and our thanks and seek your guidance for our lives. We thank you for blessings we have received from you. We thank you for your provision for our needs. We thank you for family, for friends. Thank you for this church family. We're grateful for the measure of health and strength we experience in our lives today. We're thankful for your presence and your help, your guidance, and the trust that we have in you. We confess our unworthiness. We ask for your forgiveness. We pray that our lives might more clearly reflect the hope that we have in Christ. We pray for our world. We pray for peace. We pray for those who work in places that are torn by strife and violence, who work to bring peace and help to people who suffer. We offer prayers for our nation and for our leaders. We give you thanks for President Bush, and we, with many in our nation, celebrate his life, pray for comfort for his family and his friends, pray for your presence in special ways in our nation during this time. We offer prayers for your church. We pray for that larger church that includes all who name Christ as Lord and seek to serve you and to serve people. We pray for the churches here in Saugatuck and Douglas and the surrounding area. May you bless them all and use them to share your love. Invite people to faith in you through your Son, Jesus. We pray for those who were named earlier in our service, for those on our prayer list, for those we carry in our hearts. We ask for your healing, your presence, and your grace and mercy in their lives. We pray for ourselves. We too are often in need, and we need your love. We need your grace. We need your mercy. We need your guidance. And we look to you asking and believing that you will help us. We pray for this worship service and this time together. We pray that you might speak to us and you might receive the worship that we offer. Hear us now as we offer the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The first scripture reading today is Malachi 3, 1 to 4. Found on page. Can't read that. In the Old Testament, yeah. It is actually the last book of the Old Testament, so we have the last prophet. So Malachi 3, 1 to 4. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Indeed, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old and as in former years. The next reading is Luke 1, 68-79. And this says responsive reading, but it's not marked that way. Do you want to do the responsive?
No, I believe it is marked that way. It's in the hymnal.
Oh, it's in the hymnal?
208.
Without it? Without the musical response. Okay. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who has come to set the chosen people free.
The Lord has raised up for us a mighty Savior from the house of David.
Through the holy prophets, God promised of old to save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us.
Show mercy to our forebears, and
this was the oath God swore to our father Abraham. And you, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, For you will go before the Lord to prepare the way.
You give God's people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins.
In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us
to shine on those who dwell in darkness, in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace.
The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
This time our ushers will wait upon us and we'll worship God with our tithes and offering. Father, with grateful hearts, we present these gifts to you. We ask your blessing upon them and us. We pray that you would use these gifts and us in your service to your glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now, if you turn to page 211, we'll be singing, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. And we're going to do the reading before or after each verse?
Before,
okay.
O Emmanuel, our King and Lawgiver, the expected of the nations and their Savior,
save us, O Lord our God.
From the mouth of the Most High, reaching from end to end and ordering all things mightily and sweetly.
Come and teach us the way of truth.
See you.
O Adonai, and leader of the house of Israel, who appeared to Moses in the flames of the bush and gave him the law on Sinai.
Come, and with your outstretched arms, redeem us. O come, great Lord of mine, who to thy drums on Sinai high. In ancient times once came the Lord, in cloud and majesty.
Of Jesse, who stands for an ensign of the people, before whom kings shall keep silence, and to whom the Gentiles shall make their supplication.
Come and deliver us in hearing God.
Scripture before the message is found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 3. It's reading verses 1. I want to extend what's printed in the bulletin through verse 9. Luke's Gospel, chapter 3, beginning with verse 1, is found on page 53, Pew Bible, in the New Testament. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis and Lysias, tetrarch to Abilene, and the high priests of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness, and he went into a region about Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance and forgiveness of sin. As it is written in the book in the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough way shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. He said, therefore, to the multitudes that came out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits that benefit repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father, for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees, and every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Heavenly Father, it's our prayer that you would speak to us anew, through your word and through your messenger. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The word for today is to prepare. And we were talking about the bazaar a few moments ago, and I wonder how many people were involved in preparing for the bazaar. And so I want to involve you here just a little bit, and I want to ask some questions and invite you to stand until I ask all the questions. So Joanne was one of the organizers for our bazaar. Would you stand? How many people donated something to the bazaar? Would you stand? How many people did something to prepare, like cleaning or carrying tables, rearranging things in the basement? Some of you can only stand once, so. How many of you worked at the bazaar? How many of you did anything in any way to help with the bazaar? So almost everyone was involved. Go ahead and sit down now. It takes a lot of preparation for things to happen. A number of years ago, when I was pastor of another church, I was trying to calculate how many people were involved in the preparation for one single worship service, and the number I came up with was 50. 50 people involved in just getting ready. That included the secretaries, the custodian, the choir director, the choir, the ushers, the usher coordinator, the acolyte coordinator, just lots and lots of people. And so there's lots of preparation involved in things that happen. I don't know if you're like me, but I usually go to things, and even though I've had experience planning worship services, planning funerals, planning weddings, I go to something and I enjoy it and appreciate it. I often give very, very little thought to the preparation that's involved in making something happen. And as we come into the Christmas season, this season that's called Advent in the church directs our attention early in the days of Advent to one called John, who, given the name John the Baptist, all the gospel writers record his ministry. Mark, in his gospel, leaves out the birth of Jesus and begins with John as one crying in the wilderness. All the gospel writers believed that John was the one spoken of in the book of Isaiah, who was to prepare the way of the Lord. So this scripture that we had this morning, the events that are taking place there, are 30 years after the birth of Jesus. And yet, as we read that, we're reminded of the importance of preparing. John's message was one of repentance confirmed by baptism. The gospel accounts of John picture him as a stern, in-your-face kind of preacher. I suspect that if he or someone like John would come to be the pastor of a church, he wouldn't last very long, because he was in your face. And unless you like that, you wouldn't appreciate that. I just have to believe that. What was he really like? What was John the Baptist really like? He was a stern stern man. And in the early days of Methodism in America, there was a preacher, I think, that was a bit like John the Baptist. His name was Peter Cartwright. He was a circuit rider, and he was comparable to John the Baptist. He was probably the most colorful circuit rider preacher there ever was. Cartwright, I should say Reverend Cartwright, did not fit the mold of a preacher. You know, I mentioned, like, I was trying not to tell the lady at the bazaar that I was a preacher. No one would have ever guessed until they started to talk to Peter Cartwright that he was a preacher. He was a big man. He was burly. He wore a white collar and a black suit. But to look at him, you would never, never think outside of his clothes that he was a preacher. I was trying to come up with someone to compare him to, and maybe because of the name, I was caused to think of this. But in the old Bonanza show, there was a guy by the name of Hoss Cartwright, and he was a big, burly guy, and he was very, very intimidating. Now, the thing about Hoss Cartwright was he's kind of soft-spoken. Reverend Cartwright was not, but Reverend Cartwright was big, he was strong, and he was intimidating, and he was a preacher. And there's a story about him that comes from Kentucky, where he was traveling a circuit there. And there was a tavern owner in a small town that boasted that any preacher who rode into his town would never ride a horse again. And one day, Reverend Cartwright was riding near this town, and guess what? He decided to visit this tavern owner. And as he got closer, the news started to spread through the town, and people were coming up to Reverend Cartwright and warning him of the tavern owner's threat, but he kept on riding. And Cartwright was the kind of guy that was not ordered around by anyone. Even the bishops couldn't order him around. He entered the town, and he immediately went to the tavern to confront the owner. You can imagine a terrible fight ensued. And Cartwright, Reverend Cartwright, soon had the tavern owner on the ground and was punching him in rhythm as he sang, "All hail the power of Jesus' name." And he made the tavern owner promise never again to interfere with any preacher. But it took him three verses. Now, maybe I'm not being fair, but I think there are similarities between Peter Cartwright, Reverend Cartwright, and John the Baptist. John the Baptist was of unusual character. We're told his clothing consisted of camel's hair. And my understanding of camel's hair is it's kind of scratchy and itchy. He ate locust wild honey. And though the scriptures don't tell us this, he probably had a little bit of aroma that surrounded him. And like Reverend Cartwright, John was not easily intimidated. And as he began his ministry, he came out of the mountains and he confronted the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And imagine someone coming here and saying this. He said to them, "You brood of vipers, Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? His message was to change, to be ready for something new. He preached repentance that was to be confirmed by baptism. Now, the word used in the Bible for repentance is metanoia, and it means literally to think differently. God wants us to change. God wants us to grow. God wants us to become. And the strange thing about this word, metanoia, it's sort of like the word tomorrow. Tomorrow, in a sense, never comes. Yesterday, today, at one time was tomorrow. And tomorrow will be today. But there will be another tomorrow waiting. In the same way, repentance means our hearts are to change, but to never stop changing, never stop growing towards God. Repentance, and this is really important, repentance is a lifelong project. And that's why Christmas needs a touch of John the Baptist. And that's why we have this season called Advent that comes before Christmas, a time to repent, a time to get ready. I want to tell a story about repentance, a true story. It comes from the ministry of Fred Craddock when he was a young pastor in Tennessee, and it's about a little girl who always came to church. Her parents sent her to church, but they never came with her. They would pull up in front of the church, drop her off, and then they would go out for Sunday breakfast. The father was an executive in a big chemical company, and he was ambitious and what they called upwardly mobile. The whole town knew about them and about their Saturday night parties. They were given not so much to entertain people out of friendship, but as a way to advance his career. And so that determined who was invited. And the whole town knew that those parties were wild and vulgar. But every Sunday morning, there was their little girl in church. And one Sunday, Craddock looked out in the congregation, and there she was. And he thought, there she is, and she has a couple of adult friends with her. He never thought that they could be her parents. And later, he realized it was their mom and dad. And when an invitation was given at the end of the service, mom and dad came to the front. After the service, Craddock, who was a young pastor, asked them what had prompted all of this. And they asked, "Do you remember our parties?" He said, "Yeah, I've heard of your parties. Well, we had one last night. It got a bit loud, kind of rough, lots of drinking, and it woke our daughter up, who was sleeping upstairs. She came down the stairs and was on about the third step. She saw the eating and drinking, and she said, 'Oh, can I have a blessing? God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for our food. Good night, everybody.' She went back upstairs." And they said, things got quiet. People began to say, "It's getting late. We really got to get going. Thanks for a great evening." And they said within a few minutes, the whole place was empty. And mom and dad started to pick up the crumpled napkins, the half-eaten sandwiches, and the spilled peanuts.
and they looked at each other, and he said what they both were thinking. Where do we think we're going? That moment, God had come to them. It wasn't the prophet Isaiah, it wasn't John the Baptist who had proclaimed, "Prepare the way of the Lord." It was their little girl. So how do we prepare for Christmas? How do we prepare for the coming of the Christ? It's the same as it's always been. It's by repenting of our sins and returning to God. It's by listening to God's voice, trusting in what he says. Another story. Fred Buckner tells of a time in his life when God spoke to him in an unusual way. He was depressed. His daughter was critically ill, and he was scared. And one day, he had gotten out of the house just to get away, and he stopped his car along the roadside. He was thinking about his daughter. Another car drove by, and on the back of the car were personalized license plate with one word. The word was trust. And for Buckner, that was a transforming moment. Can't explain, but the burden was lifted from him, and he refocused on how he needed to fully trust God. Strength was renewed, and in a sense, he was reborn. I think some of you have had experience like that. A moment when God spoke to you in an unexpected but special way. Buckner was curious about the guy that owned the car and about the personalized license plate. And he was able to track it down, and this is what's surprising, I think. It was owned by a trust officer at a local bank. God works in mysterious ways. Later, the officer gave the plate to Buckner, and he kept that plate on a bookshelf in his home to remind him he must always trust in God. So here at the beginning of the Christmas season, the beginning of Advent, and all the preparations that we make for Christmas, remember the spiritual preparation. Repent and turn from your sin. Prepare the way for the Lord. Heavenly Father, it's our prayer that you will help us to prepare again for the coming of your Son into the world and into our hearts. Help us to be always changing, always becoming more the person that you want us to be. Help us to turn away from those things that displease you. Help us to turn more and more always towards you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to invite you to turn in your hymnal to page 12, and we'll use a portion of the order of service on page 12 as we prepare to receive the sacrament. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience
through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now a time for silent prayer, asking for God's forgiveness in our lives. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. On the night that he shared a last meal with his disciples, our Lord took bread and passed it among his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you." And then later in the course of the meal, he took the cup and he gave it to them and said, "Take, drink, this is my blood which was shed for you and for many for the remission of sin." Heavenly Father, as we receive these elements, grape, juice, and bread, may they become for us the blood and the body of Christ in a spiritual sense. And in receiving them, may we also receive Christ anew. We ask this in his name. Amen. I'd like to invite those who are helping serve to come forward now. I'd like you to invite you to come forward to receive the offering. Thank you. closing hymn is number 221, In the Bleak of Winter. Please stand as we sing.
Experience the birth of Christ anew in your heart and life.